All right, well, if you are new today, I want to just say hello. My name's Jonathan. I'm the lead pastor here. To all of you, I just want to say welcome. So glad to have you here. And you know, regardless of sort of your background, whether you're new or not, I'm guessing that if you're watching today, you fit in one of three categories. Either you are someone who's already met God and he has changed and transformed your life and you're following after him and you're here today because you want to keep growing, understanding what it means to follow after him. Second sort of group of people that watching today is like you're kind of exploring faith. You're like, I don't know if the God is there. I don't know if this is a real thing or not, but I'm just checking it out. I want to see what it is. And if that's you, just want to say again, welcome. This is such a great place to explore those things. And the third group of people, I think, are those who just kind of stumbled upon this. You were maybe clicking through YouTube or somebody sent you a link and said, you should just watch this. You're like, okay, I'll watch it. But you know, regardless of who you are, this is a great day to be joining us because today we're going to talk about what it really means to have faith in God. You know, there's all kinds of different views and all kinds of different opinions out there about what it means to have faith in God. But today we are going to begin a study of the life of a person who really, probably more than anyone in all of history, knows what it is to have faith in God, who kind of set the standard or blazed the trail for what it means to follow after God. And he was a man who didn't grow up in a home that believed in God. In fact, he grew up in a place where God wasn't even sort of part of the picture. He had a totally separate set of beliefs. He grew up in a city that was sort of like the New York of his day. He ended up married, doing quite well, fairly successful, well established in his life. And then God met him. And it changed his life, it changed him, and it changed his family, and in fact, it changed the course of an entire nation, and really, the course of all of history. In fact, the fact that you and I are having a conversation about God at all, in large part, has to do with the faith of this man. In fact, around the globe, there are billions, literally billions of people who trace their faith back to the faith of this particular man. And of course, that man is Abraham. Abraham was a man who understood what it meant to have faith in the midst of a culture that really didn't understand anything about God. And so we're going to look at his life, we're going to study his life, and begin to understand what it means to have faith in God. But what I love about the story of Abraham, what I really love about this particular story about the faith as we look at his life, is that it is real faith in the midst of real life. And what we get, what the Bible gives us, isn't the Instagram version of faith. And you know what I'm talking about when I talk about that. You know, the pictures that we put on Instagram, if you're like us, I mean, when we take a picture for Instagram, it has to be like the right lighting. And it has to be the right angle. Apparently, higher up is better than lower down. And we have to be on the right side. Apparently we have a better side. I look at me and both sides kind of look the same, but apparently there's a better side. We get on the right side, and then we take 5, 6, 7, 8 pictures, and then we look at each of them, and we delete 4, 5, or 6 of those, and we pick the best picture, and we post it on Instagram. And, you know, if you go to my Instagram page, you will see the best moments of my life, beautiful sunsets and great holidays and, you know, my perfect family looking totally happy and pictures of me doing things that make me look like I'm really athletic when I'm not really that athletic. I mean, that's what you'll see on my Instagram. You will not see on my Instagram me when I'm feeling terrible, like I just dragged myself out of a ditch. And there are no pictures like, hey, this is me and my wife having an argument. Don't we look great while we're arguing? And there isn't pictures of me when I'm sad or mad or frustrated. My Instagram life is like the best me. And what I love about the story of Abraham's faith is it isn't sort of an Instagram picture of faith. It isn't just the high points. Look how great Abraham's faith is. Don't you wish that you could have this kind of faith? In fact, what I love about the story is that it takes place in real life. As we study Abraham's life, we're going to see that he had all kinds of challenges in his life. He had marriage issues. He messed up. And more than once, in his marriage, and he faced economic crisis in his life. And he and his wife, they had health issues. They struggled with infertility. And there was political intrigue in his world. He kind of got wrapped into this mess with the kings in the region where he was. He had conflict with his business partner. There was family drama. There was tons of family drama in his life. And he didn't always understand what God was doing. And in fact, he ended up bargaining with God, trying to get God to change his mind. You know, I like that. Like, because I can relate to that. That's the kind of life I live. Not the same exact, but it's messy, and I struggle, and things don't always go straight. And I'm trying to follow God in the midst of it. And that's what Abram did. And I'm guessing that's true about your life as well. You know, your life is far from perfect, but if you put your faith in God, real faith in God, in the midst of a real life, then God will work in your life like he was at work in the lives of myself and obviously in the life of Abram. And so we want to look and see what the Bible has to teach about real faith in the middle of real life. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, you can download an app on your phone. It's free. It's called YouVersion. And you just download that right now. You can find Genesis, first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 12. Before we start reading the account of Abraham, let me give you a little bit of background about him. Abraham lived about 2,000 years before Jesus was on the scene. He was born in a city called Ur of the Chaldeans. The land of the Chaldeans is ancient Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq. And Ur was like the center of that. It was sort of the intellectual and cultural center. It was this very urban place. And he grew up there. And the name that Abraham actually had when he was born, when he was given birth, was not Abraham, but Abram. And the word, the name Abram literally means the father is exalted. And it was likely a reference to one of the many gods that they worshipped in those days. In fact, at that time, in that place, they worshipped a pantheon of different gods, and this was just one of them. And Abram was born into a family that worshipped these gods, and so they gave him this name. So every time he heard the name Abram, he was reminded of these gods, or at least of this particular god. Now, at some point in his life, Abram's father took him and his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, and they left Ur, and they headed out to Canaan, and towards Canaan, but they stopped at a city called Hanan. And that's kind of, again, the equivalent of leaving New York, heading out west, but getting to the city of Chicago and settling there. And that's really where this story picks up. Abraham stays in the city of Haran until his father dies. And we want to pick up the story of his life now, beginning in chapter 12, verse 1. This is what it says. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So here's Abraham. He's just living his best life right now here in Hanan. He's minding his own business. He's doing well. And one day God comes to him and God says to him, Abram, I want you to leave all of this. I want you to go to the land of Canaan where I'll show you. And if you do, I promise all of these things. Now, when it comes to understanding what faith is, this is the first thing you need to understand. It's God who initiates the relationship with Abram, not the other way around. It isn't like Abram is sitting there one day in Hanan and wakes up and says, you know, today I'm going to create a new God for me. I'm gonna meet a God who is like, I want him to be strong but not too demanding. I want him so no one will mess with him, but he doesn't mess with me. And I want a God who'll be kind of cool and hip, but who won't, you know, overshadow me so that I'm still kind of the star of my life. And I want a God who will be helpful. He definitely should be helpful, but only helpful when I need him. Otherwise, he should be like one of those English butlers who kind of stays in the shadows and just appears when I need him and then leaves when I don't. That's not what happens. God initiates the relationship with Abram. God chooses Abram, not because of anything that Abram has done, not because he's some holy guy, not because he's sought after God, none of those things. Rather, he chooses Abram simply out of pure grace because he wants to work in Abram's life. And God doesn't conform to Abram's idea of who God should be. Instead, God calls Abraham to conform, to respond to what he wants him to do. So he says to Abram, go from your country. Okay, I like my country, but okay. And then he says, and leave your kindred. In other words, leave your tribe, your crowd. Be willing to leave them behind to go to the place I want you to go. It's like, oh, that's a little more. And then he says, and I want you to leave your father's house. In other words, I want you to put me ahead of your family. And I want you to follow me wherever I lead you to go. And then God makes these promises. Listen to what he says in verse 2. He says, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, God says to Abram, if you follow me, if you put your faith in me, I will do things in your life that you could never accomplish on your own. And God says to Abram, I'm going to do it, not you. You just trust in me. I'll do all these things. But of course, that also means that when it happens, God gets the glory for it. See, here's the first thing that we need to understand when it comes to understanding what real faith is about. And that's this: faith is a response to the initiative of God. You might think that you found God. You woke up one day and you decided, you know, I'm going to seek and I'm going to find God. And you know, you saw it around, you kind of stumbled until you found God, and that you chose God. And that therefore he should, and you never really put it this way, but therefore because you found him and you chose him, he should be pretty grateful that you chose him. And he should kind of conform to your image of who he should be. He should do what you want him to do, when you want him to do, as quick as you want him to do it. Otherwise, you might just unchoose him to be your God. Now, you would never say that, but the truth is, if the truth be told, that's how a lot of Christians kind of think about God. A lot of people do. But that's not how God operates. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, in Romans 5, verse 6, he says this about the initiative of God. He says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then if you read on in the book of Romans, when you come to Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul explains that it wasn't us who found God, but that it was God who chose us, who elected us by his mercy, not because of anything that we have done or because we deserved anything, but simply because of his grace. And then he calls us to follow him. You see, that's what happened for Abraham. And it's actually what happens for us. If you're a follower of God, it's because God came and he initiated a conversation with you, and he came and said, follow me. And he revealed himself to you, and you responded in faith. And for some of you, you're just in that process. Right now, God is revealing himself to you, not the God that you would like or create in your image, but who God really is. And he reveals himself to you, and he says, follow me. And if you do, I promise that I will work in your life. And that's what happens for Abram. He does that, and here's what happens next. This is really key. Chapter 12, verse 4, the first three words, it says this: so Abram went. God initiates a relationship with Abram. He calls him to leave his country, his tribe, his family, to follow him out to the land of Canaan. And Abram believes what God says, and he goes. And that really is the essence of what faith in God is all about. You know, these days there's a lot of confusion, even among many Christians, about what faith is all about. Sometimes people think that faith is really a power or a force that you get. You kind of work at collecting it and kind of manufacture faith in your life. And if you can get enough faith, If you can build up enough faith, you can kind of bend God's will in your direction. You can get him to, you know, maybe do things that he wasn't really planning to do, but because you have faith, you can make it happen. Of course, the problem with that is that if you pray and ask God to do something and he doesn't, then it becomes your fault, because then people say, well, you don't have enough faith. So if you only had more faith, you could get God to do what you want. But that's not what faith is about. Faith isn't about how much. Faith is really about the object that you'll put your faith in. It's really about who God is. But that, so that's the first sort of question that people have around that. But then other people think that faith is really about a formula. It's about doing the right things. If you, you know, pray, read your Bible, pray, maybe if you do the right order of that, you get more faith. If that doesn't work, it's like, well, pray, confess your sins, read your Bible, pray. And people continually looking for the right combination, the right formula, so that they could have faith. And that their hope is that if they get that formula right, that then God will hear them, God will answer, God will work in their life the way that they're hoping that he will. And really the thing about that is that their faith is based not on genuine faith, it's about hope. But hope is not the same as faith. So the question is, what is faith? What does the Bible teach is really genuine faith in God? The place that we find what that is in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So, you see, faith is different than hope. Faith is sort of one step past hope. Faith is being sure of what it is that we hope for and certain of what we don't see. In other words, certain of what hasn't yet come to happen in our lives. So let me give you an example. Let's say that I say to you, I am hoping to have lunch with the famous actor Ryan Reynolds. He lives in New York, but I understand he's from Vancouver, and I hope that when he comes to Vancouver that he'll have lunch with me. So I'm going to hang around downtown Vancouver, somewhere near where his mom lives, I guess, and just hope that when he comes to town, I'll be like, hey, Ryan, and he'll be like, hey, Jonathan, let's do lunch. Like, okay. Now, that would be pretty hopeful on my part. The question is this, what would change my hope into faith? So I'd say, I have faith, I have confidence that when Ryan Reynolds comes to town, that he's going to have lunch with me. And the answer is, if he initiated a contact with me and he said, Jonathan, I promise you, next time I come to town, you're at the top of my list, I'm going to come and have lunch with you. That would change everything, wouldn't it? Now I've got a promise from him, and based on that promise, I can have faith that when he comes to town, we would have lunch together. Then I would be sure of what I hope for and confident of what I have not yet seen. You see, that's what faith is. The bridge between hope and faith when it comes to following God is the promises of God. If you have faith, it means that you believe the promises of God. In fact, the writer of Hebrews goes on to say this. He says, this is what the ancients were commended for. And then he describes how the men of old, the ancient men, Abel and Enoch and Noah, had faith. And then he comes to Abraham. In Hebrews 11, verse 8, he says this. By faith, Abraham, when called to go out to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. See, God called Abraham and he didn't give him all the details. He didn't say, well, first this will happen, and then that's going to happen. And after that, I'll do this. And after that, I'll do that. And so on. Instead, he called Abraham to step out, not knowing. And Abraham did because he believed in the promises of God. And because he believed them, he acted on them. And that's faith. You see, here's a biblical definition of what faith is. Faith is confidence that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he promises to do. Right? So let me say it again. Faith is confidence that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he promised to do. And see, this is what Abraham had. This is what he did. He believed that God was who he said he was, and that God, in fact, would do what he said he would do. In fact, let's look again back at verse 4 of Genesis chapter 12. So Abram went, based on the promises of God, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. Huh. Imagine that, age 75. 75 is kind of when you're settling down, kind of coasting near the end. But God meets Abram, and Abram believes God, and so he goes. And he leaves behind, you know, a business, no doubt, and friends, and a reputation that he'd built, and he goes because he had faith in God, because he believed in the promises of God. And the passage goes on to say this. It says, and when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Ha! Huh. I love that line, at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Because what was he expecting? Of course the Canaanites were in the land. I mean, did he expect that when he showed up, they would see him coming and say, oh, quick, let's bake him a pie and put a pot of flowers and clean the house, and then we'll clear out so that when he comes, he's got the place? Of course not. What this line is really saying is that when he showed up in Canaan, it wasn't New York, and it wasn't Chicago. It wasn't so sophisticated. And in fact, the place was filled with evil, just like those other places. And I don't know exactly what Abram was expecting when he got there, but the truth is that often, when we set out in faith to follow after God, we expect that when we get to wherever he's calling us, when we step out to do whatever he's called us to do, when we take a risk to be obedient to what he calls us, when we share our faith with our sister, or we forgive somebody, you know, even though it's hard for us, or we serve somebody, we expect that because we are, you know, stepping out in faith, that God's just going to smooth the way. That'll all just go really well, that she'll just respond right away, that they'll appreciate our offer of forgiveness and also ask for forgiveness, that our whoever we serve will respond. But it isn't like that. You know, when we step out in faith, often there's opposition. Often there's hardship. Often there's resistance. It's not always as easy as we think. We find out that when we follow God, the Canaanites are still in the land. So how does Abram respond? Well, in verse 7, he goes on to say this. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. He shows up. There's Canaanites everywhere. God shows up again and says, don't forget my promises. Don't forget what I told you. You just trust what I've promised you. And I love how Abram responds. Look at the second part of that verse. It says this. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. In fact, it goes on to say this. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. You know, how does Abram respond when he finds that the Canaanites are still in the land? He builds an altar. And then, instead of sort of edging back, you know, slowly back towards the land of the Chaldeans where he knows, instead, he goes forward. He goes forward in faith, and he presses into the land further. And then he gets to this other place, and there he pitches his tent. He doesn't start by building a house or a tower or a city. He pitches his tent, and you know what he builds? He builds an altar. And it says that there he built an altar, and there he calls on the name of the Lord. In other words, in the midst of Canaan, in the midst of this place that God has called him to, even though there was uncertainty, even though it wasn't exactly how he expected, in the midst of all of it, because of Abram's faith, he worshiped God. And he worshiped him both by his actions and by his words, by building an altar and by calling on the name of the Lord. And you see, here's the thing about having faith, about believing that God is who he says and trusting in his promises. And that's this, it allows us to worship God even when we don't know exactly where it's going or how it's all going to turn out. Here's the point. Faith leads us to worship God even in less than perfect circumstances. And as we study Abram's life, you know what? We're going to find out that he never had perfect circumstances. Lots of good things, but there was always some trouble somewhere. And frankly, that's how our life is too, isn't it? This is good, and that's good, and this is going well, but not here. And then we solve this, this is better, but now we got a problem here. And the fact of the matter is, in our life, there's always something that is difficult, because all of our world is tainted by sin and brokenness. But when you trust in the promises of God, even though you can't see how it's all going to turn out, even though you don't know exactly where it is that you're going, the fact of the matter is that you can worship God. You can have this confidence in him because it's on the foundation of your faith. And you can worship him, and you should. And sometimes it should be with your words. You know, today, some of you this afternoon, you should go off for a walk by yourself or a hike or go to your bedroom and put in your AirPods, your headphones, and play some worship music. And you should just lift your voice to God, and you should remind yourself and declare again to God and to yourself, I know who God is, and I trust his promises to me. And you just worship him that way. And some of you, instead of worshiping God with your words, you need to worship him with your actions. You know, you need to worship him through obedience. And you need to go somewhere, and you need to worship him by choosing to love somebody that you just find so hard to love, but by the power of Jesus at work in your life, you're like, I'm going to love them. Or you need to choose to forgive someone because Christ first forgave you. And you just do that as an act of worship to God. Or you need to find your neighbor and serve that neighbor, whether it's literally your neighbor or it's somebody in your workplace or it's somebody in your school that just needs someone to come alongside them. And you do that as an act of worship because you say, God, I know your character, I know who you are, and I trust your promises. Even though I can't see how this is all going to work out, even though I don't know exactly where you're leading me, I trust you, and so I worship you. You see, faith is simply confidence that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. So my question for you today is this. Do you have that kind of faith? It doesn't have to be much. It's not about having a great deal of faith. It's about the object of your faith. Do you know who God is? And do you trust his promises? And if you do, your faith will grow. This is the beautiful thing about faith. It grows. In fact, we're going to see this in Abram's life. He begins sort of at the beginning of this faith journey saying, God, this is what I know about you. These are your promises, so I'm going to trust you. And through the midst of all of the things that happen, the good and the bad and the ugly, along the way, his faith grows and changes and gets deeper and richer. And the truth is that as we understand better who God is and we understand better what his promises are, the same will happen for us. So my invitation to you to this day is this. Join us as we follow Abraham's life and we learn what it means to live with faith as we go forward in the world around us. Would you pray with me? Let's pray, and then we're going to close with a song of worship. Let's pray. God, we come to you today, and God, I just pray that you would meet each of us exactly where we are. God, I thank you that you initiate that. God, that you came for us not because we were wonderful or amazing or so incredible or so holy, but God, because you chose us, because you're initiating a conversation with us, because you reveal yourself to us. So God, may we see who you are, not who we want you to be, not who we think you should be, but who you really are. And God, as we see how amazing that is, God, may we live in light of your promises. May we have trust in you because we know your promises are true. So Lord, wherever we are, whether our circumstances are easy or hard, God, may we know you in this place, and may we worship you. We give ourselves to you again this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a song of worship. And then I want to just invite you to stick around. Afterwards, we want to close time together. And I want to actually make an announcement as well. So let's worship now.